let's talk about catching up. What comes to mind when you hear the phrase catching up? Maybe you think about that high interest credit card that you were finally able to pay off, and it's no longer plaguing your budget. Or maybe you think about that friend that you haven't talked to in over 3 years, and you keep saying, I'm going to call them. And then finally, you guys are going to go to lunch together. Or maybe you think about just doing nothing and sitting on your couch and finally watching episodes of This Is Us and finding out what all the fuss is about. Catching up. Catching up is a good thing. I think that when we think about catching up, usually it's something that we look forward to, and it's something that almost as if we know that we should be doing it, but we've just been putting it off. So, have you ever thought about what catching up in your relationship with God looks like? Like, have you ever thought about, you know, there is a place, a spiritual destination, a level of maturity, a connection or an interaction with God that I feel like I should be at, but for whatever reason you have fallen behind? And I think when we look at our relationship with God, and when we look at what it means to live the Christian life and follow Jesus, sometimes we think in terms of catching up, getting back maybe to a certain lifestyle, maybe getting back to a set of spiritual practices. Maybe for you it means prayer. But catching up in our relationship with God. So in the New Testament scripture, there's this phrase that is used to describe a new kind of spirituality. There's this phrase in the New Testament that's used to describe a new way to interact with God. And the phrase is new creation. That something happens in us, that there is a new birth that happens within us, and something becomes new. Something that wasn't there is now there. New creation. So I want us to look together at this passage in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that talks about new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is united with Christ, that person is a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from our Creator God, who has pursued us and brought us into a restored and healthy relationship with Him through the anointed Christ. And He has given us the same mission, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring others back to Him. And it's central to our good news that God was in the anointed Christ, making things right between Himself and the world. And this means that He doesn't hold our sins, their sins against them. But it also means that He charges us to proclaim the message that heals and restores our broken relationship with God and with each other. So, new creation. So there's something that happens when you have an encounter with God's grace. You have an encounter with Jesus. When you have an encounter with God's mercy and His forgiveness, you have an encounter with Jesus. So when you have an encounter with Jesus, there is something that happens. There is a transformation that occurs in the deepest part of who you are. The deepest part of who you are is changed. And there's lots of different ways to describe this. There's different terminology in the Bible. Sometimes it's called being born again. Jesus called it being born again. So there's this new birth, this new life. Sometimes it's called the new man. So like there was this old man, and then now there's this new man. And the old man did stuff, and the new man is now doing some different stuff. You know, it's called the new self. So there's this old self, but now there's this new self. It's also called new creation. Now, if you really want to dive deeper into it, it's actually even called Adam and Christ. So like it's been called the old Adam. So like we were collectively a part of this one old creation, which was Adam. But then now through Christ, we are brought into this new creation, which is now under the headship of Christ. So this idea of new creation. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way. But I think that sometimes, like if you've had that encounter with God's grace, if you've had an encounter with Jesus, and you've experienced this new birth, it's the Holy Spirit of God coming and uniting with the human spirit. So you have naturally a spirit. You know, we can see that in Genesis where, you know, God created man, but he was just, you know, formed out of the dust of the ground. But then God breathed into him the breath of life and man became a living being. So when you look at that and you see in the Hebrew language, you'll see the word spirit, that man became a living spirit, the breath of God. So man was created by God, and we're this living spirit. We're this spiritual being. But then something new happens to us when we have an encounter with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is joined and united together with your human spirit. And now that's something new. Something that wasn't there is now there. New creation. So I don't know if you've ever thought about it in these terms, but I think it's helpful even to think about it in terms of your true self. There was this part of you, this side of you that needed an encounter with God's grace, and you opened your heart and your mind and your soul to Jesus, and you were born anew. And now you have become a new person. You have become a new creation. You have become a new self. And in the deepest part of you is your true self. In the deepest part of who you are is now the most significant identity that you have. So think about it in terms of your true self. You became a new creation. But here's the thing. Your mind didn't become a new creation. So like your mind still thinks the same thoughts that it always thought. Your emotions didn't become a new creation. So you still feel the same things that you used to feel. So you still have trouble falling asleep at night because you're worried about a million things. Even though you are a new creation, you still get so angry at your computer because the Wi-Fi is slow and your printer can't work and you just want to throw it out the window. Like, you still get angry at people who drive slow or talk loudly on their cell phone or self-checkouts at the grocery store or Facebook activists or that guy who takes up two parking spaces with his car because apparently his is better than all of ours. And if you're that guy, we love you and we accept you. And we want you to experience God's grace and transformation in your life so you don't take up two parking spaces. Like that guy. Like, you still have those emotions. You still have those thoughts. You still have those sleepless nights. You still wrestle. And so it's as if your deepest identity and who you are at the deepest level of yourself has been changed, but all the rest of you is catching up. Your mind is catching up. Your thoughts are catching up. Your opinions are catching up. Your emotions are catching up to the new creation. And that's not something that happens overnight. It's something that is a journey. It's something that is a process. So, how do we catch up? How do we experience this whole transformation in every part of us? The first thing that I want to share with you is that you catch up by letting go. When we first moved here with our family, Julie and I and our two girls, Audrey and Alyssa, and we came from an area kind of on the southeast of Houston, Pasadena. And Pasadena was and still is a very, very different world from Brazos County. Pasadena is the land of freeways and industry and chemical plants and blue-collar workers and, shipping containers and sulfur mountains. And it's just a different culture there than it is here. And we moved here, and it's like, you know, this is the land of like Aggies and Giggum and, you know, super fun, football fans and the most awesome tailgate experiences that you've ever had in your life. And like, I still remember one of the first days that I was here, like going into a line at a Starbucks, and the guy in front of me is from Egypt, and the guy behind me is from Japan, and the guy at the counter is wearing, you know, like a cowboy hat and boots, you know? And he's saying, you know, I'll take a chai latte with a double pump of vanilla, you know? Like, I had never seen anything like that in my life. You know? Oh, what the heck? Give me three pumps, you know? Like, what is going on here? And it was just so cool. So when we first get here, you know, I get the bright idea that like, hey, I want to help my family kind of acclimate to this new culture. So I sign us up for like this horse riding adventure, you know? And so like, you know, Julie and the girls get into the car and they're like, where are we going? I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, we're just going to go over to this place. We're going to have fun. And we go out, you know, like to Welburn out there somewhere. And then we get out into this, you know, this ranch. And then we're greeted by this like Argentinian cowboy, you know, like horse whisperer guy. And then, you know, we show up and And I think, you know, he's kind of like sizing us up a little bit. You know, he's looking at us and, you know, like I'm wearing a baseball cap backwards and Converse and, you know, and we're like, hey, you know, we're here for the horse riding deal. And he's like, oh, okay, I got some horses, pretty good, you know. And so we follow this guy and he gives us like a 2-minute crash course. Like I never ridden a horse in my life. And he gives us like a 2-minute crash course of how to ride a horse. And then he says, okay. And so he's leading us to our horses and he's taking the girls first. And you know, he takes our daughters and he's introducing to them to their horse. And their horses all have like really sweet horse names. Like, oh, this is Rose, you know. Like, oh, you know, this is Old Blue. You know, this is Peaches. And then he brings me to mine and he doesn't even tell me what the name is. And I'm like, hey, what's my horse's name? Oh, that's Thunderclap, you know. Sometimes we call him Lightning Bolt. And so we get on, you know, he gives us instructions on how to get on a horse. And everything's going great, you know. Like we're just galloping along, you know. I don't even know the terminology, you know, like trotting along. Like I don't even know. Like we're going, you know. And so like we're going everything's great. First 30 minutes, you know, we're like going in a circle in this field. And then at some point he gets the bright idea that like we've graduated to expert horse riding level in a matter of like 30 minutes. And so he comes around and he says, I got an idea. Let's all race. Pretty good. And then he says, you know, some words. And then, you know, the rest after that is kind of a blur. But I'm pretty sure, like, somebody yelled yeehaw. There was a giddy up in there. And then we're off to the races. And I'm riding now on a horse faster than I have ever gone on an animal in my life. And then all of a sudden I turn around and I look. And like Alyssa is like, you know, gallop, like she's bouncing on her horse like a little too much. And then all of a sudden she just like takes flight, like off of the horse. And then I see that. And then something that just kicks in, you know, like just this paternal instinct, like, and she takes off. And so like, I jump off of my horse too. Looks like she's falling off her horse. I jump off my, like in mid stride, you know, like the horses is going. And she's flying through the air and I'm flying, like we make eye contact. And she's got this look like, I am so mad at you right now, Dad. I am so mad. And so Alyssa hits the ground and I hit the ground and I like roll and I like roll right up to her, like catch her head so that I can lay her gently. I mean, it was so awesome. You guys should have seen me. And here's what I think was so interesting about that situation was when all of that happened and it was, you know, just a split second, the horses just stopped. Like all of the horses that we were riding, they just stopped. And it was almost as if the horses could sense that something wrong was going on. It's almost as if the horses could sense, you know, the fear, something wasn't right. You know, and experienced horse riders and trainers will say that, like, if you're ever riding a horse and you're off like in a long ride and you get lost, that you can just let go of the reins and the horse will always find its way back home. And horses have this, they have this naturally caregiving instinct about them. It's one of the reasons why they're used in equine therapy and treating addictions and helping people who need to be healed in certain areas, because they just have this natural caregiving instinct about them. And horses intuitively always know how to get home. New creation. The deepest part of who you are is the same way. That there is now this part of you that has been deeply touched and transformed by God. And that part of you that has been deeply touched and transformed by God is the very nature of God living in you. And so true self, new creation, new man, that part of us that has been infused with the Holy Spirit of God has this instinctive nature that when we wander off the path, He will always lead us home. And have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like maybe there's a day when your mind has just wandered so far off the path? I mean, to the point where like you're even surprised that you're having the thoughts that you're having. Or have you ever felt like just your emotions have just wandered so far away? And like, maybe for you, it just feels dark. Maybe it feels cold. Maybe it feels almost like despair. But I think we have parts of our life that lose their way. But we also have a deeply loving and caregiving God who is living within us that wants to lead us home. So just let go of the reins. Like, how do I find my way back to that place of wholeness? How do I find my way back to that place of peace? How do I find that stillness and that quietness in my soul? By letting go. By giving up those reins and trusting that God is good, that He is faithful, that He loves you, that He cares for you, and that if at any point in your life, if you've wandered away from home, you have a loving Father that wants to bring you back home. So the key to experiencing transformation, the key to catching up to new creation, is to let go of the reins and let true self take over. Let new creation lead you home. The way of the cross is the way of letting go. The path to peace is the path of surrender. It's the path of letting go of the reins and trusting God. So, how do you do that? You know, I think it's interesting to me times that I've had conversations with people and they've asked really hard questions. The big questions of life. You know, sometimes I'll be sitting with someone and, you know, there's a difference between advice and counsel. You know, advice usually comes from experts, and advice is usually rooted in knowledge. But counsel usually comes from someone who cares about you, and it's rooted in wisdom. You can always tell usually the difference between advice and counsel, because advice is telling you what you should think about a situation. But counsel is different. Counsel is someone who comes alongside of you, who cares for you, who helps you discover what you think about a situation. One is telling you what you should think. The other is helping you discover what you already think. So counsel is a caregiver that comes alongside of you, that leads you home, that brings you to that place of knowing. And so it's always interesting to me that, you know, I've had conversations with people, and sometimes they'll ask me difficult questions, big decisions in their life. And I'll say, what do you think you should do? And usually 9 times out of 10, the next thing that comes out of their mouth is the most profound and wise thing. Because instinctively, deep within their true self, something was at work leading them home, and they just needed a moment to hear that voice. And so that's what prayer does. That's what meditation, contemplation, spiritual practice, stillness, reflection, that's what all of those things do. You know what's funny is that, like, when you hear words like meditation and spiritual practice and contemplation and reflection, some folks are not comfortable with that kind of language. But here's the thing. We already do this every day. And instinctively, when you come into a place in your life where there's a fork in the road and you have to make a decision, you know, the difference between incision, which is a cutting into, and a decision, which is a cutting away from, means that when you are at a place in your life, there is sometimes some choices that you have to make to cut off one thing. If I choose the path to the left, I'm automatically cutting off the path to the right. And so that's what decisions are. They're, what are the things that need to be cut away from in my life? What are the things that I need to break away from? And so many times when we come to those places of decision, and it's a tough decision, you typically don't hear people say, let me enter into a deep moment of stillness and quiet meditation and contemplation before I give you an answer. But you know what we do say? Let me sleep on it. And that's actually exactly what we're saying. Because have you ever noticed that when you come to a place in your life where there's a big decision that you have to make, and you say, you know, it's probably wise for me not to make this decision because my emotions are all over the place. My thoughts are all over the place. I need some time to kind of catch up and figure out what I really think about this situation. So I'm going to go home and I'm going to engage in a prolonged period of silence and contemplation and meditation. And then something miraculous happens in that time. You wake up with a moment of clarity and you say, okay, I know now what I should do. Why? Because you created space. You created a place for you to connect with new creation. Even if you didn't realize that that's what you were doing, you were already practicing it in your life. And so that's why one of the reasons that after every sermon here, I say, let's pause and have 2 minutes of silent, quiet reflection. Because I want the truth of God's word and the new creation Christ self that God has infused us with. Give that time to speak. And so it's learning to listen. So emotions and feelings and thoughts, they're loud. But new creation is soft, is quiet, is a whisper. So what would it look like for you? What would it look like for you if you let go of the reins? What would it look like if when you came to moments in your life where you learned to be still and wait on God and wait on His voice and wait on the Holy Spirit to guide you? It might mean that you make decisions a little more slowly. It might mean that you're not so quick sometimes to jump into things, and that's okay. What would it look like if we let the true self lead us home? And here's what home looks like. It looks like love. It looks like grace. It looks like peace. So we're all asking questions. Every single one of us. We're asking questions. What do I think about the political climate of my country? What do I think about refugees? What do I think about Donald Trump? What do I think about Mexican immigrants? What do I think about gay people? We're all asking these questions. Let new creation lead you home. And here's what I believe, because the scriptures that I read say that when we are in step, when we are following the Spirit, you know what it always looks like? It always looks like grace. It always looks like forgiveness. It always looks like love. It always looks like compassion. It always looks like the cross. And so I think we have some things we're trying to figure out. We have questions, and that's okay, because those questions are leading us somewhere. Those questions are waking up our soul. They're waking up our spirits. And that's good. So the final point is, let new creation take over. The Spirit of God in you is caregiving, is loving, is kind, and He wants to lead you home. So let's finish today by reflecting on the 23rd Psalm. And here's what I want you guys to notice. You've probably read the 23rd Psalm before. Some of you may even know it by heart, right? But think about it today as we read it and reflect on the caregiving, nurturing love of God who wants just to lead us home. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I invite you today to close your eyes with me. And let's have a time of reflection. Maybe there's some thoughts and some emotions or some feelings or some things that you're going through, and maybe there's areas in your life where you just need to catch up. You need to catch up with God. His love is there, His grace is there, His forgiveness is there. And maybe there are some things that God wants you just to let go and just give that to Him. You don't have to find your way home. It's not your job. It's His. He is the shepherd. He's leading us. And so, as we end this service today, let's pause for about 2 minutes and let's reflect on coming home. Us in a group prayer, a collective prayer that we can all say together, a prayer of confession and a prayer of acknowledging our need for God and our need for Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you'd like to say this prayer, please join in, and I invite all of us as a church to join in together. Let's say these words. Dear God, I confess that I'm a sinner. I've wandered off the path, and I want to come home. Help me to let go and to let Christ take over. Lead me to the cross. Thank you for loving me. Help me today to become a new creation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God today for those who said that prayer. God, we rejoice and we thank you for your grace.